Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a troll!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
And welcome back to it. We do it thanks to Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. 2 o'clock, Roosters Manly. We'll cover that game off for you very shortly. And preview it too, thanks to Aveco Trucks. Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent, Gordy Tallis and Maroon here. It is retro round. And a happy birthday to young Jack Harrison, who's listening in his old man's Wolseley on the way to Watto Bay for a few beers there. Mate,
how old's Jack?
Jack's 21 today.
Happy birthday, Jack.
And I spent my youth with his old man Hector at the Randwick Rugby Club drinking 80-cent schooners. So that's something pretty retro there. Happy birthday, Jack. What are you blokes laughing at?
Oh, nothing, mate.
Huh?
Keep going, Maroon.
No, that's okay. I'm done with it. So just everybody want to wish Jack?
Yeah, we just did.
Well, okay. We were going to sing happy birthday.
That'd be nice.
Until we found out he's 21.
That'd be nice.
Thought you meant he was 10 or something.
He's 21. We're going to wish him all the best and have a great day.
All right, boys.
He probably doesn't want to hear from us.
133353, it is time for this. So what we do here, this is where Gordon just talks and talks and talks, interrupts everyone and talks and talks and talks. So now we don't interrupt him, though. We just let him off the leash, let him off the chain, and Gordon Tallis, the raging bull, tells us what's on his mind.
Well, no, aren't you supposed to ask me some questions,
brother? Well, do you want to start with Ben Hunt?
Well, Ben Hunt, as we sort of alluded to before, I think that the last time the Broncos made the grand final and won it, Sean Berrigan was there. He's a robust, great ball runner. If everybody else can do their job, and Sims and Blair and Thaiday and Maguire and Gillett, if they can get their side going forward and give him some time and space, he's just going to keep the ruck so honest, which will give Darius Boyd and Milford and those guys out there some more room to move. And McCulloch was probably Brisbane's most consistent and best player all year, and I thought that they were really going to miss him. And they will miss certain parts of his game, but I think Ben Hunt just adds so much more in attack.
All right. Now, the Raging Bull, you love retro round. I can tell by the clothes you've worn today, mate, that you do.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah,
very retro.
I think the reason why I love it so much is that's when I fell in love with the game. I think in the 80s when I, the bright Balmain and the, and that was the 89 grand final, but before that and Parramatta and how good they were going in the early 80s. But I grew up watching the Brisbane competition, and it was Wynnum versus South versus North and Redcliffe and East and the mighty West Panthers, and all these clubs would go out there and they'd have a game, and, and we'd get to watch Wally Lewis and they'd come and play. And I think the early round was like a statewide competition, and they'd play and have the big KFC on their jerseys,
the
and they'd come
Sander.
And play. And,
yeah.
And then that's when I fell in love with the game, and it was because of guys like Mel Meninga, Wally Lewis, and Gene Miles,
Fonda
and Colin
Matassa.
Scott. And, no, well, I don't remember Fonda. So it was sort of those guys moving on from probably about 85 on. And that's why I love retro round. I think that they do a really good job. And soon it's probably going to move on from the 80s, the era that I love. And, Blocker and all those guys that are on Fox with us, their era is probably the 60s and 70s, and mine's the 80s. And, the new breed of kids coming through, like the Cooper Cronks, and when they retire, they'll probably like the 90s. So it's probably going to be the last couple of years of the 80s, the retro round of the 80s, and they'd move it forward.
I think Cooper Cronk would love to be referred to as a new breed of kid coming through. But anyway, the next...
When I talk about media.
One on your list is a new kid coming through. Ash Taylor's future, yeah. When's he heading back to the Brisbane Broncos, Raging Bull?
Oh, I don't think he will. I think that they let him go the first time, and they said that they didn't want to let him go, but they made a choice between Ben Hunt. It was big there, and obviously down here you probably didn't hear too much about it, and Ash Taylor's been developed. I think Neil Henry's done a wonderful job of teaching him how to play. And I think that if you've got Milford on $1 million, you've got Darius Boyd on $1 million.
You got Jack Bird coming up there
Jack
on
Bird
money.
Jack Bird, you can't afford to do that. I think it'd be taking the piss out of the game if you've got, you know, four
people.
Yeah,
it'd be back to the salary cap that the Broncos had in the late 90s. Outrageous.
Not that far, good.
Mm. How about we have the Raging Rhino next week and I'll come on and have a go.
But you have tamed yourself.
Oh, it's been very tamed today.
You only fire up when you interrupt someone. Why don't you fire up when you've got your own little segment there, Gordon?
Well, I did.
Well, you didn't really.
I said they'd be taking the piss out of the salary cap if they can sign another guy on $1 million. And I think Ash Taylor, and then that's what, when Paul alluded to it before about Jarryd Hayne, I think the Titans will have a real big decision on whether you go after someone like Jarryd Hayne at 30 or...
Well, that's not a decision. Well, keep Hayne or if they keep Taylor. It's not a decision.
It all depends how Jarryd Hayne plays.
No, I don't think it does. Anyway, you've got a 21-year-old, you know, halfback playmaker.
And what a player. Through. His short-kicking game
is
sublime.
He's the heart and soul of that club. And I watched him closely yesterday when they got beat by 50 points, and he's so competitive. And those little parts of his game, he's running back. He was into his teammates. He's a real competitor. I know he gets compared to some of the greats of our game, but some of the early signs of Ash Taylor show... It's plain and simple that he is going to be a guy that you build a club around, and the Titans need to make sure that they do not let him go. Tell the Frizzells. Yeah. Get on board, Gordy. Actually get out there and justify that $200,000 Audi that you drive and give him a heads up.
And gone are the days where you had to play for Brisbane to be the marquee player and to play State of Origin, and that's what used to happen because there was no really other club. But the way the Cowboys have come on, they've won a competition with Thurston, Scott and Tamalolo, and you got Hess and Morgan, and then you got the Titans now. So now there are three clubs, and he's already in the Queensland system. But before that, you had to be a Broncos kid because that was the pathway. You know, probably.
Will he
want to
go back, Gordy? I mean, do the Titans need to make it? Like, is he a player? Obviously, he's from there. Would he be looking to go back based on family commitments or based on just wanting to be a Bronco?
The Gold Coast was the fast. Well, the Southeast Queensland, that was the fastest growing area, and that's why the NRL moved to put a team in there because it was faster growing. So I reckon he's got a chance of making it. If he goes to Brisbane, it'll be Darius's team. And then there's Milford, and then there's Burden. There's if he goes to the Titans or if he stays, it's going to be his team. He's going to be one of those guys that can get the Gold Coast over the line, like Thurston winning the Cowboys first. He's got a massive chance of doing that.
The danger for the Gold Coast is that if I'm Ash Taylor, I sit down and purely from a football point of view, I say if I stay here at the Titans, I'm part of a rebuild club. I know it's my team. I'll own the team. I'll own the result. I'll own the success. But we are 3, 4, 5 years away from potentially playing a grand final.
Potentially. Yep.
It's no sure thing.
All things going well recruitment, retention.
Everything has to be spot on. Or I go to the Broncos and I go into a system where immediately I'm into a top four club, and what I think I can bring to that club can turn them into genuine premiership threats straight away. And that's what the Gold Coast have got to figure out. That's why the Gold Coast will have to pay overs to keep him.
Yeah.
But that's what the Gold Coast...
He would have to take a pay... I would say more like he would have to take a pay cut to go to Brisbane, Kenny. But isn't this where...
No.
Yeah.
To go to Brisbane.
I mean, this is where the league, though, need to be diligent in the fact that they need to keep an eye on these things because thinking about the best interest of the game, I mean, we need to look at ways to make sure that if the Broncos can get him in their salary cap, and I know that they've, you know, third-party agreements and that are a lot more probably accessible up in Brisbane than they are in the Gold Coast, but shouldn't the league make sure that when players like this are set to move, that they put a microscope on everything that's going on in and around these deals, making it more difficult?
I agree totally. I don't think they do enough of that, and it'd be a real travesty for the game if Ash Taylor, who just when he starts to get the Gold Coast going, he will be the marquee player at the club once Jarryd moves on. He will eventually be the indicator of success at the club. It'd be a travesty if he just simply goes to Brisbane in the same market and one team again in that area is strengthened to the immediate detriment of the other. And that's a real issue the game's got to figure out. Salary cap-wise, I think, the Titans are going to be able to afford more, Taylor more than what the Broncos will give them, who else the Broncos have got on their roster. That's the issue. But when third parties come into it, and this is the whole issue, third parties just corrupt the system. And the Broncos quite legitimately can say to Ash Taylor, look, we know you're being offered $800,000 on the cap to play at the Gold Coast. That's going to put them in a big hole. But we will pay you $400,000 and then in inverted commas, we will do our best endeavours to get you a third party of $400,000 or $500,000 to match that, which they will come up with because they always do. There's always people in Brisbane.
I didn't think the clubs were allowed to talk about third party agreements. No, I thought it was the managers.
They're allowed. The clubs are allowed to do their what they call best endeavours. They're not allowed to promise money to the player, but what they will do is they'll say we will put you in contact with Anthony Maroon over there because he likes the Broncos and he might have something for you. And then Anthony Maroon's manager, or in this case, Ash Taylor's manager, will go and have a talk to that sponsor and say, okay, would you be interested? And he'll say, of course I am.
I want you, Gordy, you know Ash Taylor personally.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, with given the knowledge there that the boys have just said about, you know, what's on the table for him and why he might go to the Broncos, Ash as a person might say, well, hang on, the Broncos let me go. I came down here. I've worked with Neil Henry for a few years. I want to be just personally part of the Gold Coast Titans when it all kicks in.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be 5 years. And I don't know how – look, Brisbane are in there with a fight. I still think that they're a Jared Aria Hargreaves or a Matt Scott away from winning the grand final.
I agree with you, but I think they're a little bit further down the grand final track than the Gold Coast are. That's my point.
You don't think they are, Gordy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, they're near the marquee side. They're going to, you know, play finals and they can give it a good shake. Yeah. But, like, I don't think the Gold Coast are as far away as 5 years. I think within 3 years it's certainly achievable for those guys to win a competition.
All right, that is the Raging Bull for today. We won't bother with the closer. We'll just move on because we're a little bit short on time. Being retro round, at 2 o'clock we go into full retro mode, so why don't we now preview this 4 o'clock game which we're calling. Interesting for a number of reasons. One, obviously, because Penrith need to keep winning. The other one, of course, we not often see one bloke coaching a team versus his son who plays in the other team. And they still live under the same roof. This game's at Pepper Stadium, a beautiful afternoon for rugby league in Western Sydney. Paul Kent, how do you see this one, mate?
Look, it's a problem game for the Panthers. You talked there about fathers coaching against sons. I think it's only ever happened once before.
Who was it, Paul?
Trivia question for
you. It wasn't Martin Lang, was it?
No, it wasn't Martin Lang. They were going to happen.
Wasn't Wayne Bennett, Scott Minto.
Scott Minto. No, Scott Minto only ever coached him.
Oh, well, he coached against his father-in-law, Ben Eichel.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Can you give us a clue, Kenny, without giving it away?
Chris Anderson.
The father was an absolute great of the game.
Okay. All right. Okay, well...
Did Chris Anderson ever coach against his sons?
I should know.
John Sattler?
No.
McCarthy.
Oh, Bob coached Troy
Bob
and the Gold Coast.
Versus
he coached Darren.
The Dogs.
He coached against Darren.
Yeah.
He coached against Darren, of course, yes, when he was coaching the Gold Coast.
Of course, now it all comes
Giants.
Back, yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't
over there
know.
Eating your salad.
I didn't know.
Funny, have a look at you. Those big teeth eating a salad. You're chopping through it, all right?
What's up, Doc?
Look, it has happened before, and I find it quite intriguing that because... Did you see the story earlier in the week? I think it was Elijah Taylor was over at a meeting with Ivan at the house.
Yep.
Now Elijah's a Penrith player, a teammate of Nathan. He's gone to the West Tigers coach's house to have a meeting about potentially going over there. Saw his teammate, coach's son. It all gets so complicated.
Yeah.
But such is the character of Nathan Cleary. Not a word of it got mentioned at training. Such as the relationship between father and son, and that would have been the whole mood this week in the house. If you know one thing about the Clearys, they are a very steady, emotionally family. You know, they not much varies them up and down. And Nathan has basically spent the week. His father knows his game better than anybody, and Ivan's got to sit there and try and pick him apart. I'm fascinated to see what the Tigers do today.
Will he get picked apart?
Penrith.
Would you pick your son apart?
Yeah, wouldn't you?
It would have been.
I don't know. There's got to be a bit of fatherly
love. He's not going to send a player out to go out and say, "Listen, bash him late."
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be that sort of instruction.
Will he send a heap of traffic his way?
I think you would. Yeah, I think you got to. I think you got to send traffic to him, and I think you got to find a way that you got to say to your team, "Look, what he likes to do. You know, every player's got their little habits, the things that they fall back on.
Yeah.
I think you've got it. You're doing your job to say that. So I think he's got to do that.
Do you reckon Ivan kept him up last night, got a few mates around and kept the music going?
Had a poker night, Ivan.
And just kept the music going a little bit too long.
Probably did. But and then the whole thing around that is the big picture. The Tigers are trying to stave off the Knights, who are making a charge off the bottom of the table. So the Tigers have to keep winning. And then on top of that, you've got Penrith, who suddenly are very much part of this finals picture now.
More importantly, though, I think for the Tigers, is their last 4 weeks have been really good. They've been productive runs, and they're finishing with something. And we spoke about Aaron Woods, and you know, potentially he might even be staying at the club, given the fact that, you know, there could be drums at the end of the year. Everyone seems to be really happy there at the moment. James Tedesco was absolutely brilliant in their win last week. They've got some really talented guys who are in form. Lola here and Brooks now have had probably half a dozen weeks together, where Luke Brooks is playing some really good footy. So they are a real threat out there this afternoon, and they've got a lot of confidence and a lot of belief. And I still think Penrith, even though that they're as Kenny said, they're sort of on their way into the finals potentially, they're still not playing like a finals team. And at this time of year, is it about winning games and getting points, or is it about playing football that if you are going to make the finals, you're going to actually make a contribution, or you're just going to get knocked out in week one? Because the way Penrith are playing at the moment, they might make the finals, but if they get there in the form that they're in at the moment, they're not going to do any damage. They're better off worrying about performance and trying to make sure that they go into the finals, you know, on the run of some really good footy.
I think that'll be the focus of Anthony Griffin's conversation. Forget about the finals. Don't even mention it. Don't forget. Don't think about where we're at. And what we'll actually do is we'll just go out and try and play well. Because he would know that as well, Gerds, wouldn't he? What about the referees for the 20s out there doing their warm-ups?
Hey, can I just give...
Unreal, aren't they?
Yeah.
Look at them doing the little... What do they call those, Gordon? You used to do those, didn't you?
Oh, the butt hits, the butt kicks.
Yeah, butt kicks.
I don't know. There wasn't a technical name. It was just butt kicks. But at Penrith, they got a great field out the back. They can and they get to it quicker than what they would get to the front of the field, and they don't warm up at the back. Because the players warm up at the back in Penrith.
They're referees. Referees like to be seen.
But just on that...
they've got fluoro socks on.
Gavin Badger is doing his 300th game today.
Yeah.
And when I get Badger,
it's this one, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, Penrith.
The Penrith game.
Well, he'll be out there nice and early for the warm-up then.
Oh, mate, but he's a good mate. You know what? He's my favourite referee, and I think when he made his debut... When he made his debut was the game when Carl Webb sort of pushed him over when Carl Webb scored. That's right, that was the Badger's first ever game, and I was involved. And, you know, one thing that I remember is he just always had a smile on his face. He's one of those guys that I think he generally loves what he's doing. He loves the game, and he just loves being out there. Congratulations. 300
good
games.
On your badge. Well done.
I tell you what I like about it. He just makes a decision. He better than any other referee in the competition. He gets over and he goes, yep, like it, try.
Okay.
And you don't see enough of that.
Sunday Triple M NRL, thanks to Brighton's lawyers, Paul Kent, Goody, Tallis, Ryan Gerler and Maroon. That game is 4 o'clock this afternoon on the Triple M Network. Download the app now, triplem.com.au. Who wins in a word? Ryan?
Oh, the Penny Panthers.
What about you, Paul?
Penrith.
What about you, Goody?
Penrith.
All right, our retro special. It's all 80s.
Get your money on the Tigers.
Coming up after 2, it's all 80s. But next, we're going to tell you about a brand new competition that could see you calling rugby league on the Triple M Network. It's called The Footy Voice. Want to know more? Stick around, because Triple M rocks the footy.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerds. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Our number is 133353. Let's have a look at the scores so far this round. Eels 20, Parramatta, they beat the Dogs 20-4. So Parramatta are now 6-6 straight. So good on you Eels fans. South came back to defeat the Dragons 26-24. Storm 26, Cowboys 8. Knights 2 in a row with a 26-10 win over the Warriors. Broncos 54-0 over the Gold Coast. And the Raiders having a good win over the Sharks 30-12. Storm up the top. Knights down the bottom. It's round 22. Those scores all thanks to Tyre Power. And right now, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. It's time for this.
The Triple M Footy Voice.
Yes, this is a big opportunity. If you've loved to call the footy, if you've always dreamt of calling the footy on Triple M or wherever you might like to call the footy, this could be your opportunity to call the game, just like the great Rabs Warren, Vossi, the Moose, Darryl Eastlake, Graham Hughes did a wonderful job the other night calling the Rabbitohs Dragons game.
Anthony now, Maroon.
Of course, yes. Thank you very much, Gordon. Triple M is offering someone a footy commentating experience plus tickets for you and a mate to the NRL Grand Final and, who knows, possibly the start of a new career with Triple M. Calling the footy, what a buzz.
Oh, I mean, how good will it
you
be?
Might have been an awful footballer like me.
I can't wait to call with to call him up footy. In Brisbane. I can't wait to get there with him. And
you'll be calling a few Brisbane games, will he, Gordy?
We've had a lot of people from Brisbane wanting to get involved. Yeah. So, obviously, you know, they can see an opportunity and... Well, they're sensing it anyway.
All right, let's have a look at this. First of all, what you've got to do, record your best rugby league commentary on your smartphone. Now, don't pull something out you did 3 years ago, okay? Just get a fresh...
Hang on a second. No. What are you making the rules?
Yeah, I'm making the rules, because if I'm judging...
Well,
I'm not.
Are you judging it?
No, but I'd say, hang on.
I disregard what you're saying.
Why give me a game where Ziggy Niscott's playing? Give
me a
game
with... retro round.
Oh, well, all right. You know... See, Gordon, I mean, see, Ryan,
the thing is,
you're just like Gordon. You've just got to disagree
like
with
Gordon.
Me, right?
Okay? Nothing like him at all.
Yeah, well, you are. You're a lot like him.
Okay.
Only you're a lot, you're a lot prettier.
Oh, yeah.
Now, so record your commentary, put on the smartphone, and then head to the win page at triplem.com.au. And here is some of the entries we have had in the last week or so.
Adam from Des Moines in New South Wales.
Bowen's picked it up like a thief in the night. Bowen's away. Bowen's going to go the length of the field untouched for the Cowboys. He puts the ball down next to the post. The referees have no problem with it. They point to the spot.
Jacob from Newcastle in New South Wales.
Aiden Dolman takes the hit up, gets them up to around about the 30-metre line on second tackle. Michael Leitra at a dummy half. He finds Fuaita Metano. Gets it on to Frawley to pass it on to number 16.
Johnny from Address Unknown.
Bremner come underneath. Townsend, Bremner, he's just fell short. Fletcher, he's back to Hillen. Hillen's got a bit of time here. Hillen, he'll just cross kick in the air, looking for his winger Tarawa. And Tarawa, what a leap! Wow, Asan Tarawa plucks that one out of the air.
Paul from Randwick, New South Wales.
That's pulled up in the in-goal area. He's got to be quick here, Ross, otherwise he's going to get hemmed in. Tupua Mitchell coming down. Oh, it does well. Well, the Knights have got less than a minute to go to 100 metres to try and snatch victory here.
Well, that last one was good. Paul from Randwick.
Yeah.
I like that, Paul. That was good stuff. But anyway, have you got, Gordon, first, have you got any advice for any of those?
The game's the star.
Yeah, right.
Players' names and games the star.
Could
call
you,
their name.
Could you give us a little bit of your commentary?
Well, I don't know, Gus.
Okay, just call a try for us here. Let's
no,
go.
No, what
on.
If you do it? You're the caller.
But I
don't ask
no
you for an opinion
because
you don't give them, so don't ask me to call.
What about you, Paul? Would you like to...
Paul didn't do it last week.
No.
Ryan, you haven't had a crack at it
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, but I tell you what. I can't just make up
a
try scoring opportunity. You put one in front of me, Maroon, and I'll do it.
Just use all these names in here.
No, but what are they doing? Paul Kemp plays the ball to Anthony Maroon, gives it to Gordon Tallis. Gordon Tallis tips over the top, gives it to Gerdler, gives it to Max, the producer. Max, the producer. Oh, it's a wonderful try out wide. Oh, let's
very
see.
Good.
Dave, the town techie, can kick it from out there to win the match for the Triple M NRL Sunday team. Here we go.
That's good stuff, Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what that does show. It shows you how hard it is to actually be a caller when you listen to people who want to have a crack at calling who have clearly got no hope.
Well.
But anyway, we do want your entries.
Yeah,
it is a competition.
Yeah, mate, we need a caller for Brisbane. So,
well, yeah, well, any of those blokes will do for Brisbane.
Woo-hoo. Why? Are you going on the current caller?
They sound articulate in Brisbane.
So those guys are Adam Dunn, Jacob Eifert, Johnny Pett, from Thurool and Paulie Heathwood from Randwick. You all did a great job there, guys. So head to the win page, triplem.com.au, and who knows, you might be the next commentator on the Triple M network with Triple M's The Voice. Now, fellas, we've got a retro round coming up at 2 o'clock. We've got a retro special. So if you're like me, you did all your good stuff in the 80s. You know, I'm talking going to nightclubs, listening to INXS, driving VL Commodores.
What else did you do in the 80s?
Listen to, I used to start it in radio in the 80s. I was a sales rep, 2SM. I used to sell ads on the radio back then. And
how much was an ad going for back then?
Oh, mate, it was a fair income. It was about $60 a spot back then.
Wow.
$60 a spot. I had all the nightclubs in Sydney advertising through me.
Whoa.
It was a bit of fun.
Oh,
yeah, a bit of fun. That was back in the 80s, 30 years ago. But we're going to celebrate the 80s And we're going to do it all after 2 o'clock with our retro special.
Cash was king in the 80s. That's what I loved about the 80s. There was no FPOS machine. There was no cards. It was all about cold, hard cash.
Yeah, video. Yeah,
everyone used to have a safe under their bed.
Did they?
Don't pretend you don't love the cash now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm loving retro.
You are on fire today, Kenty. You are on fire. Now, fellas, but right now let's continue to talk rugby league as we do here on Sunday Triple M NRL. Buzz Rothfield writes an article today in the telly about Sonny Bill Williams. Maybe he's not lost to rugby league forever. Sonny keeping an eye on the blokes that are playing well into their 30s. Cameron Smith, of course, Gal, Lukey Lewis. Perhaps a return to rugby league for Sonny Bill Williams, perhaps not necessarily in the NRL. It might be the English Super League where he might be able to get $3 million for 2 years. But it's Sonny Bill. He's just one of these blokes that he just I mean, whatever he turns his hands to.
I'm more interested in the fight with Gallen at some point. I think that'd be more, for me, I mean, Sonny Bill's made a great contribution to our game, you know, came back and won a premiership. But, you know, it's also been, for Sonny Bill, it's also been about, you know, he's been a bit of a mercenary and he's chased goals in other codes, which was his decision. But, like, for me, I look forward to the fight more so than if he comes back
into
the game.
Happen, Paul?
I think he's 33 now, isn't he? So, yeah.
The problem they're having, look, I'll say about him coming back to rugby league. It's a fishing expedition, okay? It's throwing it out there that if you come in and you've got cash to spend, he'll have a look at it because Sonny will go where the cash is, which we all know about Sonny. So basically it's a free ad for his future stocks to say, you know what, I'm back in the market.
The last time he came back, PK, though, it wasn't that impressive, that last season that he had.
His last season wasn't great.
The first year was brilliant.
First year was very good, but he won his premiership the first year. He sort of ticked the box.
Yeah, but you need to be careful. You don't know what you're going to get.
And that's what you've got to ask yourself if you're going to buy him again. The other thing I find interesting about that is he might go to the English Super League for $3 million for 2 years. Now, that's $3 million. I'm assuming that's $3 million Australian. Because the Super League salary cap, one of the things that people here in Australia don't realise about England is it used to always be a viable alternative for players when they got to the end of their NRL career and say, you know, I'll go to England now, I'll pick up a bit of cash, I'll have a good time, I'll live in Europe, you know what I mean, be able to spend weekends flying over to France or wherever I want to go. But the money's gone out of the English Super League now. The salary cap of the English Super League is for next season is £1.9 million.
Wow.
Now, that's pounds, dollars, right?
But still.
So how a team from a £1.9 million, what is it now, basically double that for dollars?
I think it'd be a little bit more. I think it's about 36 cents. So you're probably looking at 2.5 times.
Yeah, okay. And then you've got to find $750,000 of it out of a, say, $4.5 million salary cap.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Put in one player. But Sonny thinks he's worth it.
Yep.
So good luck to Sonny if he gets it. You know, whether another club, they might think he's worth it. But that's the issue. The salary cap over there is much less than what it is.
Have they always had salary caps over there in the Super League?
No, they haven't. But they came in later, but they did have one. But it was always a fair. The salary cap used to be more than what it is now.
Yeah.
And this is the danger.
They're mainly privately owned, aren't they, a lot of their clubs over there?
The money's gone out of the game over there, Gertz. The game struggles financially over there now. It basically, there was a point there where the main competition didn't have a major sponsor, the Super League competition. So they've struggled for cash, and the salary cap's actually come down. It's not a lot of money in the salary cap now. Certainly the money that was there, like, for example, earlier this year when Gareth Widdop was negotiating for an extension at St George Illawarra, and a lot of people said, look, he might just go back to England and play over there.
Yep.
But the problem he faced was if he went back to England, it was basically what they could afford to pay him in England was essentially the same as what Australia could afford to pay him, even allowing for the exchange rate.
Yep.
So he obviously stayed here in Australia where everything's better and, you know, sunnier and warmer and much better than England. But I don't know what he's going to do. As for the fight with Sonny, the problem they're having there is Main Event have basically sat down and they don't believe the fight is worth what Sonny and Gal's management believe it is.
Yep.
And as part of the negotiation, there's been a bit of a shift in Main Event in recent years.
Yeah, did Horn not figure that well?
No, Horn went well, but not as highly as they hoped. But but what hasn't gone well is some of the other big fights that have been, so, like Sonny's fight against Franz Botha wasn't massive. A couple of the Mundine fight, other than the Denny Green fight, which did make money, a lot of the separately Green, separately Mundine fights were not making pulling in the subscribers like they had in the earlier years, which basically shows that a lot of people are tiring, I think, of the gimmick fight card, which is basically not really...
I think UFC's taken a lot of momentum out of it as well.
You're seeing genuine fights. Yeah. And what we're seeing, like we're seeing Gal's had a couple of pay-per-view fights himself and been on main event and things like that. And they haven't really brought in the numbers that they'd hoped.
Mm.
And so main event is saying, well, you're asking us to put on this fight. We're not going to get the subscribers to justify the cash.
So how does it work out financially for the fighters? Do they get an upfront fee, then a percentage of...
Oh, it's a negotiation. So the very basic negotiation is that 50% of subscriptions go to main event and 50% go to the fight.
Ah. And is there an upfront
And then the fighters fee? Negotiate within that. Now, there's no upfront fee. What they do is they shift the percentage. So I think the Green Mundine fight, they took 60% of subscriptions, not 50%.
Yep.
And then within that, they then negotiate their own. And then just obviously as part of this house subscriptions, I struggle to say that every time.
Me too.
There's yeah. So, but there's the ones at home and there's ones in pubs which pay a lot more and which are a different rate and all the rest.
Okay.
All right. So, wait, are you thinking of getting in the ring, Ryan, or what?
Only if you join me. I'll knock a couple of those new front teeth out.
Mate, if there's anyone here, I reckon I could have a decent crack at you.
Yeah, you're kidding.
I reckon you are a big ice cream cone, I do, Ryan Girdler. Now, let's just before we go to the ad break. We've got something like serious going on in Brisbane next Saturday. Gordy, you know a bit more about this. The Senior Constable Brett Fort charity game, Saturday of next week in Brisbane, 1:30, main game at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And that's at Creek Road, Carindale?
Yeah, Carindale. Yeah, that's the little East Carina Club there. And obviously Petro's playing Princey, so there's the two police teams are going to play against each other. There's a heap of stuff there. So there's some NRL stars that are making a comeback that are going to go and throw their weight behind it, and all proceeds are going to go to the family. So it'll be a really good day. There's jumping castles, there's face painting for the kids. So if you've got nothing doing next Saturday, go down there and do it.
You should get done up as like Mr. T, like you did on Fox League the other day. That's what you should do.
About a serious fundraiser.
No, we are. And this could get more people down there with Mr. T.
I thought Wally Lewis would probably get better. Hey,
you should get back in sales.
Mate, if you think I'm bad at this, you should have seen me at sales. I wasn't that good at it, Gordon. But I had a car phone.
You can only stand at the corner for so long.
You had a car phone back in the 80s?
Yeah, I had a car phone, yeah.
Was that the one that you could take out of the car?
No, you couldn't take it out of the car. And you could just drive around and talk on the car. It was very flash back in the 80s. Commodore SLE with a 5-litre V8 engine and a car phone. Don't worry about that, mate.
Yeah.
I pretty much ruled Redfern Street, Redfern back in those
days. Burn a hole in the ozone layer on its own maroon, wouldn't
it? Absolutely. And so it did. Sunday Triple M NRL kickoff is 20 minutes away.
Why do you just keep on going?
And the Roost. What else you want to know about me, Gordon? Where I used to go out.
What was your favourite era? 60s, 70s, or
80s? Oh, Gordon. In 1987, I turned 21. So that's my era. Gotcha. Right around there. Mm. Good days, Gordon.
What year did you turn 21, Maroon?
1987.
87.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I used to start off at the rugby club for you schooners.
Yep.
Bunnies was a nightclub at South Juniors. That's where I got together with Miss Portugal back in 1984.
Yep.
And then I used to head to this club called Tramps in Maroubra, sort of around that area.
Mm-hmm.
Great days. Great. We'll talk about it more in Retro Round, which is coming up after 2 hour retro special for Retro Round. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, and Maroon as Triple M rocks the footy. 1, 2, 3,
never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Hallelujah.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
And welcome back to it. We are going to go into full retro mode at 2 o'clock this afternoon just for a little bit of fun. We're going to do everything 80s. Blocker Roach will talk to us as well. We'll try and get some more 80s guests on there as well. Two of the great 80s rivals will kick off at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Manly and the Roosters. Just having a look at some old footage of the 87 semi-final, which seen Manly go on into the grand final and then win the grand final in 87 against Canberra. But look, that's a story for a couple of minutes' time. Right now, Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Anthony Maroon. It's time for this.
This is Anthony. He owns a big, shiny, fancy f***ing four-wheel drive, but he doesn't know how to change a tyre. Harden the f*** up, Anthony.
Come on! Harden the f*** up!
I reckon rugby needs to harden the f*** up, Anthony. This is Jan. He spends an hour a day doing his hair. You're also a DJ, aren't you, mate?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you... Yeah, harden the f*** up. So come on, Australia. Take your skirt off and harden the f*** up.
Yeah, well, this is Triple M NRL, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. And this is where the boys get to, you know, talk about who needs to have a cup of cement and just harden up a little bit. Just harden themselves up a little bit. Gordon Tallis, you really let us down today with the Raging Bull. Here's your opportunity to make amends with harden up.
Well, harden up, it's a bit of an easy one. It's an easy target for me, is the New Zealand Warriors. They've always been one of the most talented teams in the NRL, but they just don't know how to roll up their sleeves and earn the right to play footy. And talent alone doesn't get you anywhere in life. You've got to work hard. And I think the Warriors really need to have a look at the way they recruit, the way they do a pre-season. And these guys need to know that the option of all that fancy stuff, you've got to actually roll up your sleeves and play tough and want to defend. Defend is 50% of the game. That's only if you control the footy. It can be more. And they don't get in there. They don't hang in tough situations. And I think for the game going forward, we need a strong New Zealand Warrior.
Okay, thank you, Gordon. Well done. Paul Kent, is anyone you'd like to see harden up?
Yeah, like I said, the Raiders harden up. I think they finally put themselves in a position where last night we saw all that potential there. We've been waiting for it all year. They're now in the fight for the finals. They're not necessarily there yet, but the destiny is a big opportunity to be in their hands. They're playing the Raiders. They're playing the Panthers later in the season, so they've got a chance to catch the Panthers. I think the Dragons are in free fall, so I think the Raiders, although they're not in the eight at the moment, they've got a real opportunity to get there. But if they continue to play this wishy-washy football that they've been playing for much of the year, there's no chance of getting there. So I'd like to see them have a crack.
All right, there's Gordon Tallis and Paul Kent. Harden up, Ryan Girdler. We've saved the best to last, mate. What about you? Who needs or what needs to harden up?
Yeah, look, I'm going to go with a game that's on today. I'm going to go with the Manly Seagulls defence. The big game for the Manly today. They play the Roosters up there at Lotto Land. They've leaked 92 points in their last two games. It's unacceptable. I think Baz would have been working with the boys, especially with their defence, for the last 7 days. And they're coming up against a Roosters side that are red hot at the moment. And if Manly don't harden up defensively today, they'll continue to lose games and they'll put themselves in a vulnerable position in the back part of the year. They're only 26 points and they need to change that today.
All right, short and sweet on harden up today. Kick off at 2 o'clock for that game at Lotto Land. Trent Barrett's Manly side up against the Sydney Roosters. Should be a great game, and I can see a really good crowd starting to build at Brookie. It's a wonderful atmosphere there when they get a decent crowd. So we'll keep you posted with scores for that game, thanks to Tyre Power. But that is the end of Harden Up, Sydney's Triple M. And just before we go to the break, our number is 1-3-3-5-3.
Well done, Marinji. You handled that like a real pro. Well, you're expecting something else to happen. Nothing did, and you just kept on trucking, didn't you?
Yeah, I love it. You're one of those blokes that drop the ball and pretend that it's not your fault.
Yeah, he puts his head up and says,
He dived on the bomb. He took the one himself. Mm. And well done, Maroon.
And see,
lucky really, he was talking, though, Kenny, because he was actually listening. Because if it was one of us, it would have stopped. He would have been reading or something.
First time you want Gordon to interrupt you, and it doesn't happen.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL. Let's get ready for our retro special with some oils here on Triple M. NRL is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. And of course, it's retro round from 2 o'clock today, our retro special. Everything retro, 80s footy, 80s Triple M, 80s fashion, 80s commentators. It's all coming up after 2 o'clock, our retro special. So stay here for a bit of fun on a Sunday afternoon. The Triple M you are listening to right across Australia. Now, this game about to kick off at 2 o'clock. Manly and the Roosters, a couple of changes. I'll quickly go through them. Trbojevic, the fullback, Wright and Uwate, the wingers for Manly. Dylan Walker and number 15, Brian Parker, comes into the side. Blake Green, Daly Cherry-Evans, Lawrence Taupau, Corrissau, then the back row, Frank Winterstein, Sean Lane, Jake Travojevic. The bench is now Lewis Brown, Darcy Lussick, Lloyd Perrott, and a young kid named Tanganoa in jumper number 21. Roosters, Watson, Tupou, Mitchell, Joey Manu, Blake Ferguson, Luke Keary, Mitch Pearce, Waria Hargraves, Radley, Napa, Madison, Orbison, Liu, Ted Ivano, Takiyaho, Guerra and Cornish. Those teams all thanks to Mungrel Boots. They're Aussie-born and bred, Ryan Girdler. It's such an important game for Manly, but who wins this one?
Yeah, look, it's just hard to go past the Roosters. You know, really impressive last week. And Manly, I just spoke about their defensive woes at the moment. A couple of really good clashes to look out for today, though. Obviously, in the centres, you've got Latrell Mitchell coming up against Dylan Walker, who plays his 100th game, and those two guys are both in really good form at the moment. But yeah, for mine, I just don't think the Sugars can recover that quickly, and I was really impressed with what they did last week, the Roosters, so I'm going to go with the away side.
Gordon Tallis, the old, they're great rivals out of the 70s and 80s. It's a perfect game for retro round. Who do you like, Roosters or Manly?
Oh, I like Roosters, and normally when your defence is as poor as what Manly's been over the last couple of weeks. That's an attitude. And normally it takes, well, I reckon it takes about a month to get it all turned back around. You know, you can fix things on the run, and probably the best side to do it is Melbourne Storm. They can fix it, you know, at a half time. But most of the other sides, it takes a while, and I just like the way the Roosters are going. Keary's, everybody's doing their job. Their big forward pack is running through them, and they've got the skill. Everybody's doing their job at the Roosters, so they're going to be hard to beat today.
Iveco Trucks, strong by nature, iveco.com.au. Just having a quick preview of this Manly Roosters game. What about you, Paul Kent?
I like what the Roosters are doing, what they're building towards. I think that they've sat there this year. They're sitting in second position, and nobody's really spoken about them all season. Mm. The Roosters, they just keep chipping away, winning games. They win all the games they should, a couple that they probably shouldn't, and here they are shaping up for the finals. And I remember talking to Trent Robinson last year, and this is, I think, the credit to Trent Robinson as a coach. Last year, I think they lost six of their first seven games, the Roosters. And this is a side that for the three previous seasons had finished minor premiers. And I was talking to him on the phone about where it had gone wrong and what was actually the problems at the club. And he wasn't too concerned. And sometimes you think, oh, you know, when you talk to coaches, you start to think they're in a little bit of denial about how their teams are going. But he just said, no, look, we're going okay. He said, we've had to turn over the roster earlier than what we like. And he said, but we need to get some players, move some players on and get the salary cap back in shape, and we need to bring some kids through. So we've got some kids coming through now who are probably a little bit there ahead of their time. He said, but I'll tell you what, he said, we'll be in a good position to win the comp next year. I thought he was nuts when he said that. Mm. I thought, you're here, you're one out of seven, and you're telling me that next year you'll be in good shape to win the comp. And here they are in good shape to win the comp. Yeah. And I think that they've sat there and they've approached this season like it's a 30-week competition. They haven't tried to get out early, but I think their ability still, they're nowhere near as good as they can be, but I think that they will get, come the finals, in the sort of form that they need to be, and they'll be in there or thereabouts. And so I just think that today is just a progression of that, and Manly just haven't shown enough in recent weeks to make you suggest it's going to be any different.
Okay, good on you, Kenny. Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, and we'll keep those scores updated for you when that game kicks off. We do that for Tyre Power. You buy three, you get one free on selected BF Goodrich passenger car, SUV and sports performance tyres. But more importantly, as part of Retro Round, our retro special, he's only about 3 minutes away as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks Sunday Arvo footy for Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future.